In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello.
Hello.
Sellout.
Sold
Repair
out.
Of sellouts.
Yep.
Sold it out, the Adrift live show.
I did warn you guys, it's going to go quickly.
But we thought we were just saying that to try and give the illusion of scarcity.
No, I actually meant it.
I thought we'd be looking at a bunch of empty chairs.
Well, that would have been awful.
I didn't think no one would turn up. Mm. I just thought a paltry number of people.
No, well, I mean, just because people book tickets doesn't mean they're coming, so let's not get too excited.
No.
They're probably coming.
Yeah. Have we checked the resale size?
Oh, no. Come on now. I think people are selling it for more money. For
maybe.
Profit. That's highly unlikely.
Well, we sold out we put it on sale in the morning and it was sold out by the evening.
I know.
It's quite something, isn't it?
I'm really pleased.
Think about what that does for my self-esteem. Do you think there'll be scalpers walking up and down outside?
Do you mean touts?
Yes.
Scalpers? Is that the new word?
I think it might be an old word.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or maybe I'm misusing the word.
Are you flattered that I assumed it was a new word rather than an old word? What with you being 50 and all? That's nice, isn't it?
Oh, well, it's going to be a great... If you bought tickets, it's going to be a great day.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm having my hair cut on Friday.
Are you?
Yeah. I didn't want to look bedraggled, so I thought I'd book a haircut. It's been 8 months. I thought it was about time.
Oh, I'm going to have a colonic.
great.
Just how I feel. No, I'm going to wear Spanx.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm going to embrace my body positivity.
Good for you.
Yep. But I don't have any... You know, if you're thinking, why are his clothes so ill-fitting? Just things of... It's been a rough 12 months.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's happening. And is Tom maybe going to bring his camera and film it a bit pro bono?
Maybe. It's been mentioned.
Oh, well.
Hasn't been confirmed. It's TBC.
Oh, okay.
Depends how many arguments we have between now and then.
Will he put it on a dolly?
A dolly? Was that something with wheels?
Yeah, like a camera on a little trolley wheel thing.
He might do.
Get some good shots, some good footage.
He might do.
Get some B-roll? Is he going to get some B-roll?
I'm sure he'd get B-roll, yeah.
Any audience cutaways?
I don't think he'll do that because I think people won't want that, will they?
No. I hate an audience cutaway so much.
Yeah. I know.
I don't mind seeing the whole audience.
But when it singles in on like one person laughing.
Yeah.
And two people. Yeah. It's unnecessary.
I feel like it's the TV telling me, look, people like this like it. Maybe you're a person like that. You should be laughing too.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that we don't need to talk any more about that. Only to say thank you very much if you bought a ticket.
Yes.
If you didn't buy a ticket, sorry.
Next time.
Sorry, we should have booked Madison Square Gardens, but we didn't know the demand was there.
No.
But I'm excited to do it and excited to see everybody. But if you're coming and you're thinking, oh no, he's excited to see everybody, what if he's going to stand like a vicar at the door on the way out? I'm not going to do that either.
Okay, I will. I'm going to hug you all.
Yeah. What was I to talk about? Oh, talk about something. I found myself in a very awkward situation the other day.
Okay.
I went to pick up my son from school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in common with most schools, it wasn't like this when I was a kid, but I think when I was a kid, the gates to a school would just open.
Yeah, Yes, yes. And now they're always closed.
Yeah. So it's like you're waiting for them to open. So a crowd amasses, right? Mm-hmm. So a crowd is, you finish school at 3:30, it's 25 past three and a crowd is amassed. But I can see that there is a cluster of people around the gate standing unusually. So I try and crane my neck and see what's going on. And what I can see is that there's a woman collapsed on the floor.
Oh, no.
She looks like she's probably a grandparent of one of the kids. Oh. And I don't know. She's conscious, but she doesn't seem well.
Oh, this is awful.
Okay, so I don't see the collapse itself, but I can see that there's been a collapse. And I can also see that there are at least eight people around her and that somebody is on the phone, presumably trying to get an ambulance to come.
Okay.
And then somebody else has been dispatched to find the school nurse. So in that situation, there is nothing I can do to improve whatever's going on for this woman.
Yeah.
I don't have any medical skills,
mm-hmm.
and I feel that anything I did would make it too many chefs.
Yeah, yeah.
However, the position in which she's collapsed is directly outside the school gates, so there's no way of not walking past her.
Okay.
So then what do you do in that situation?
Please tell me that there was no way you had to walk over her.
No, but I had to walk right beside her.
Right past.
Yeah, there was
like
no
within a foot or so.
Yes.
Oh, that is so close.
Yes. So then what did you do?
Oh, what did you do?
So I thought my choices are I can pretend that it isn't happening and look away. And like, but then I would feel like a bad Samaritan.
That's heartless.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just think, so what am I saying? Oh, I don't want the inconvenience of seeing a collapsed woman on the ground. I'm not gonna deign to look down at you. But then that begs the question that if, I don't know, 100 people or whatever is filing past you, that what are they supposed to do with their faces as they walk past?
And also, if it was you, you'd actually want people to ignore you.
Yes.
I don't want people looking at me.
Yeah. So what I did was, as I walked past, I tried to make minimal, like a little bit of eye contact and give a facial expression that conveyed both, oh, it'll be okay, I'm sorry, and chin up, you know, like that, like a, can you just, what did I just do?
Well, what you did didn't, I mean, you're talking about some very complex emotions,
yeah.
Two differing ones that would be hard to do individually, let alone combined.
And what I've learned about myself is I don't have a very full repertoire of facial expressions, as it turns out.
Can I tell you what that one said conveyed to me? The one you just did. It just went, sorry.
Well, I think it was like some friendly version of sorry, yeah. It'll be okay.
Whoops, don't worry. Easy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what else am I supposed to do? You can't smile.
No. And it feels rude to ignore, but actually you should ignore because no one wants to be looked at in that situation. Oh, I know. Maybe you could walk past and just go, God bless. Without looking. That's actually not bad.
God bless.
God bless. Which is an old lady, you said. Or the grandma, a child. That's kind of my age, really.
I also think that, you know, this is a mistake people make. When you think of an old, when you're thinking of an old lady and what they say, you're thinking of an old lady who's dead now.
I know, who says God
because
bless.
You're thinking of a lady who was born around the turn of the of the 20th century.
I know. And
an old lady now might have been born, you know, during the rock and roll era.
They're not saying God bless, are they? Like my grandma was.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So.
Oh.
So I got my facial expression wrong.
Mm.
I really just wanted to like throw some money on her. I always have a compulsion to throw money at the problem.
That would not help.
No, well, I didn't.
No. I should have thrown like a tenner.
There you go. Get yourself something nice at the hospital canteen.
Oh,
awful. Awful. Awful place to collapse. Terrible inconvenience to me.
And awful, awful for her.
Yeah, no, but what about the awkwardness for me and everybody else who had to file past her? It just slumped to one side. I'm only being immature. I'm just being immature because I don't know what to do with my feelings.
I know.
Another thing I was going to try and talk about is about how my wife is... If ever we go anywhere, like she instantly becomes like a local character.
Right.
So I think that if there was a crime and I was a suspect, most people in the neighborhood wouldn't recognize me or even remember that I'd been there. I think I'm so unremarkable and move around in such an inauspicious way that I could be tapped up to be a spy. I lack a lot of the other skills that you would need to be a spy. But in terms of moving through the world like a shadow,
right?
I think that's a quality that I possess. A lot of people wouldn't value that as a quality, but I do.
Okay.
Whereas Sarah, she can't order food without without having some like sparkling repartee with a waiter and stuff. And it happened a couple of times over the weekend. There was one thing where she knocked some cutlery over, and all of a sudden the interaction like turned into a new episode of Will and Grace or something. And then we go to a particular pub for Sunday lunch most weeks, and she's somehow become the Negroni lady.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, will you be having one of your Negronis?
Oh, God, she's got a name, like an alcohol name.
Yeah,
no.
And I just think, like, I don't understand. But I think most people would be able to order a drink without becoming...
that lady.
Yes.
Yeah. It might be the Negroni aspect of it.
I don't know.
It's a very Sunday lunch drink to me.
Let's not discuss that. Yeah. I know what you mean. Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Or what?
Even maybe like a Prosecco, but yeah.
Oh, look at you celebrating. You yuppie.
Celebrating.
One of the things that I could not get over when I moved to London, and I know society's changed since I moved to London, it's far more normal than it was then, was that people were drinking champagne. As if it was just a thing that you drank.
Right.
Well, like not at a wedding.
Oh, I see.
Well, or if you'd like
occasion.
Won a Grand Prix.
Oh.
Like you'd go in a pub and maybe there'd be a table of people who'd finished work and they got a bottle of champagne.
Oh, but there wasn't an occasion.
Yeah.
I mean, and that still feels a bit weird.
Well, it does.
It?
Yeah. So when you say Prosecco, that's the association I have, even though I know it's not. I mean, it's more like, I guess, Chardonnay used to be.
Bottomless brunches.
Yeah. But anyway, so she has this thing where she just makes an impression. And I think part of it is the having a bit of zippy repartee just comes easily to her in the way that it doesn't for me and drifters in general. But I was thinking about who would, apart from people who know me, who I'm friends with and have some kind of actual relationship with, like who would know me from being around the neighbourhood. And I got it down to like one person. And there is a man, and I would say I used to see him probably like 3 or 4 times a week. But now because I don't leave the house, it might only be a couple of times a month.
Right.
And when he and we have never ever, me and this guy have never ever spoken to each other in our lives.
Okay.
But whenever we see each other in the street, We do this, like a little nod, like letting on to each other.
Raise the eyebrow.
Yeah, and then there's sort of,
yeah.
And why do you think that is?
No idea. Do you both wear glasses, the same kind of clothes?
We look similar.
You look similar.
Yeah.
I thought that must be it.
Isn't that the weirdest thing?
Yeah.
So no interaction. I've seen around for 10 years. I don't have this with other people I've noticed around for 10 years.
Oh.
But because we sort of look similar...
You're acknowledging it, but you've never said it to each other.
It's really sweet. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's like being a Morris Minor driver.
Yes.
You know, they used to all wave at each other.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm a beardy man of a certain age.
Oh, one of us.
Yep. So that was that. The other thing was, am I okay? Am I going on with myself?
How many minutes are we into this? 12? That's all right.
Go on with yourself. No, I'll save it. I'll tell you about it later.
All right. Then.
Because what I was going to do for you is, okay, coming up later, this is a tease to keep you listening.
Yes, don't people dropping off.
Coming up later.
Falling asleep.
I've been having some physiotherapy on my bad finger.
Oh, yeah.
My rock and roll finger. And I'm going to describe to you my behaviour as a man with an extremely low pain threshold in physiotherapy.
Great.
All right, shall we hear from the drifters?
Let's. First one from Colonel Clare. Jeff's request for Drifter interactions with the emergency services, prompted by the brilliant story about the swimmer setting off the fire alarm, nudged me into a revelation. I had identified my Drifter origin story, the very first memory I have of my Drifterness. This memory regularly makes me shrivel up inside, even though I think the event happened when I was about 8 or 9 years old. For some context, this happened many decades ago in the early 90s, at a time when the threat from the IRA was very real. I was on a school trip to the Natural History Museum in central London, and we were doing the obligatory trip to the loo before we got back onto the coach to go home. There was a massive queue for the toilets, and I was still in the queue when the teacher started to hurry us up because the coach was apparently about to leave. I was so anxious to not A, disobey a teacher, B, cause a fuss, or C, risk missing the coach, that rather than point out that I hadn't been to the loo or collected my bag from the hooks, I simply followed the teacher outside without saying a word. It turns out there were two consequences to my Drifter behaviour on that day. The first, somewhat less impactful than the second. You can probably guess where this is going. Consequence number one was that I spent the whole coach trip home desperately needing a wee, but too shy or embarrassed to say anything, knowing that I'd have to explain why I didn't just go at the museum and only just made it back without an accident. Consequence number two was that the school bag that I'd left at the museum resulted in the whole place being evacuated and the bomb squad being sent in. The first I knew of the security incident I had caused was a few days later. It might have been longer. My brain hasn't held on to that detail. When I got back my school bag sealed into a police evidence bag. I was so embarrassed, but my parents thought it was hilarious and told the story to all our friends and family over the coming weeks and months, meaning I had to relive the embarrassment over and over again. Some people might think that with the passage of time, this would become an amusing anecdote. But for me, it's simply a reminder of how I never stood a chance of becoming a fully functioning adult when I was working from a foundation of such timidity that I would rather cause the evacuation of a major tourist attraction than point out that I didn't have my bag.
Wow. Mm. I'd like to know more about, because I'd always assumed it was something like that. They'd put a lead box over it and explode it.
Oh.
So I wonder if, like, they sent a robot up to, like,
just to open up the buckle and look inside. But, yeah. Like, just see some school books and the packed lunch.
Because, well, I'm trying to. I think if I don't know how bomb disposal works, but I would explode it just to be on the safe side rather than think, oh, I'll just have a look what's in there and then blow my head off.
Mm. Yeah.
But maybe there's.
Maybe an expert can let us know.
Have we got any bomb disposal experts listen to the podcast?
Surely. And this is from Teresa. You mentioned wanting stories about evidence of past generations' Drifter tendencies, and I remembered this. A few years after my father died, my mother mentioned to me that we needed to get our chimney cleaned. I asked her how we went about doing that, as images of Dick Van Dyke dancing on the rooftops of London flew through my mind. We discussed options, and I lamented that I'd never gone down to the basement when my father had done it so that I could see what he did. Then maybe I could have done it myself. My mother said that wouldn't have helped. Confused, I asked what she meant. She said that shortly before he died, he'd confessed to her that he didn't have a clue how to clean a chimney. But he did it every year, I said. No, she told me, he didn't. My father, rather than admit that he hadn't a clue what he was doing, would go down into the basement, listen to a radio, read a book or a newspaper, waste some time, and then, when he thought he'd been down there long enough, come upstairs and claim it was all done for another year, completely fooling the entire family. I think about it now and wonder if he lived in dread of one of us popping down there to see how it was going.
That's wonderful.
Isn't it? I love it. He sort of did a deathbed confession as well. Like, I've got to tell you something. I've just got to tell you. I've never cleaned the chimney. I just pretended to.
Oh, my God. Mm. So he'd rather live with the embarrassment, not admit and have to live with the embarrassment of not being able to clean a chimney than run the risk of his family dying of, like, carbon monoxide poisoning or whatever it
is. Yes,
yes. Because we've got... like an open chimney in the front room. And the first few years we lived here, I used to get, like, someone round once a year to do the test and clean it. And I haven't done these last few years. And I think it'd probably be fine.
Mm.
Because I'm sure, like, when I was a kid, we weren't getting our chimney swept once a year. But I don't want to end up there with egg on my face if we all die.
Mm.
It'd be embarrassing.
What can you die of things? I'm wondering if I've got a chimney.
I don't even know.
Well, no, you only need to worry about it if you've got an open fire. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. I think ours is like blocked off, but there's a small hole. Okay, I'm sure
yeah,
it's fine.
And even if you've got one, you only need to worry about it if you've got an open fire, because it's about the smoke having somewhere to go, isn't it? So what they do is they come round with...
Okay.
some things and set them off and then look where the smoke has gone and check it's not leaked into other rooms. Oh. And yeah,
we're all having a lesson here. That's
yeah,
good.
Look
Thank
at
you.
This.
You could have saved a life just then. Do you know that? That's yeah. amazing.
Well, if you are a chimney sweeping, you'd... Because here's the truth is, I always forget about it until just before Christmas when I'm thinking, wouldn't it be nice to have an open fire at Christmas?
Right.
By which stage you can't get a chimney sweep for love nor money.
Oh. Oh, right, really?
Because everybody's thinking the same thing, but right. other people are more organised.
Never think about that being a busy time of year.
Oh, yeah.
Seasonal.
Yeah, mm. yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. If you want it done, get it done in August. Nobody's thinking about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the unexpected detour we did then?
I know. I'd almost started talking about the Yale lock on it from door. The thing won't come out.
Don't talk about that.
I put a video of it on Twitter and asked people what I should
did
do.
You?
Yeah.
It's risky.
Why?
I don't know. Saying your lock doesn't work.
Well, so do you think somebody would see that the lock doesn't work yeah. and they'd be following me,
yeah, yeah.
that they would feel such hostility towards me, they would then see that opportunistically and then find out where I lived.
Mm, yeah, okay.
But not have considered that it's just one lock and we've got other locks on the door
many.
As well.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah. Good point.
But, you know, I went and borrowed some WD-40 off the neighbour.
Oh, yeah.
Did nothing.
Oh. But it did everything.
Well, that's what I thought as well. That's what everyone on Twitter was saying.
Right.
I wedged a kitchen knife into it.
Mm.
Nothing. Jiggled it around. Nothing. Now what am I supposed to do?
Get an expert in a locksmith.
Well, I went to the locksmiths. Mm. And he said, oh, yeah, well, what did you do? You just unscrew those screws and then take that off and slide this through and bring it in. I thought, I can't do that.
Oh.
I can't take a lock off. Who do you think I am?
I know. He didn't get the measure of you, did he? No.
Who do you think I am? A regular person with ordinary capabilities. I'm below par. I can't do that. But you can't say that.
No. You can't admit that you don't know how to use a screwdriver. That's embarrassing.
Yeah. Mm. And so then I just make the assumption that if I send Sarah in, you know, he will be sexist and wouldn't expect a woman to be able to do it.
Oh, no.
Oh, I don't know.
Or she'd be a bit of a character and charm him. That's more likely.
What's going on in your Substack, Annabelle?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. So this week, I'm going to give you the title and then I'm going to give you the subtitle. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Title. I'm a total nightmare to live with. Subtitle, a peek behind the curtains and how I like them drawn. Nice little insight there. Should mention that this is going to be for paying subscribers only. I have these every so often. Oh. They're just for people who pay the £2 a month to get everything.
How do you choose which ones to withhold?
It's the more personal ones.
Oh, I
this
see.
This is a more personal one.
I see.
Yeah, so yeah, anything very personal, that's just for the elite.
And you like to leave your curtains drawn?
No, it's how I like them drawn. I don't say that I like them to be closed. I'm trying to get this for free. I'm not giving it for free.
So you're talking about the method by which you draw them?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm not going to go ask questions, but I only asked because I thought I had an ally to it, because I personally feel daylight is overrated.
Oh, I see.
So I'll often be... Like I tend to work from bed a lot of the time.
Mm, mm, mm.
And Sarah will come in and say, don't you want some daylight in here? I say, no. It either doesn't occur to me, and I think of it as completely neutral.
Have you got a light on, or just using the light of your laptop?
The glare of my laptop.
Yeah, okay.
Or at this time of year when the sun is low in the sky, it's just getting in my eyes. So yeah, it's like I don't want to like find the exact biting point of the blind. So I'd rather just like sit in the dark.
Okay.
But I think some people would view that as a. Maybe a symptom of like clinical depression. I say some people.
Mm.
I think we know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, this is for paying subscribers only. So if you do already subscribe, but you want to pay me £2 a month, which, you know, it's not a huge amount, it's a very small amount, then you get all the personal ones that I've written about having a much younger partner. That's one of them. The time I froze when my son was in danger. That's another of them. Oh, the time I had a hideous reaction to being proposed to. That was another one. So yeah, sign up, first of all. Second of all, £2 a month. Bit weird, quite normal. AnnabellePort.substack.com. Join me.
You're giving them such great stuff. That is such. I think you could charge a lot more for that.
Well, I don't. I don't like to. Times are hard.
No, I know, but that's so kind of you. I think that's so kind of you, though, because I think you could. I think you could easily charge three.
Well,
you could.
I will.
$4.99.
No, I don't.
No more than that. I mean, it's not worth it.
I don't like it when people charge too much. I don't like it. I think 50p, that's nice. 50p per £2 a month. 50p per post, that's
50p
nice.
50p is an amount of money that should be doing the rounds in 2024. Oh, sorry, you mean, but yeah. Across, I think £2 a month.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of people are getting this for free.
I know, you're very kind. Mm. It's very selfless of you. okay.
Yes, let's move on.
Do you have another way in which you're not a fully functioning adult?
I do have that as well. Hold on a minute. I need to get my notes up. Can't just do this from memory. It's too much.
Why don't you have a bucket at the live show asking people for £2 coins?
Oh, God. Can you imagine? No.
You love £2.
Oh, I won't be doing that. Who's got £2 on them anyway? Like, you probably do. You have cash on you?
No, never.
No, me neither. Me neither.
Hate cash.
I'll get one of those card machines, a Zeta or something. I'll take my money that way.
Got such a bee in my bonnet about cash.
Oh, do you?
Loathe it.
I'm not keen.
For years I've loathed it.
Well, it's your lucky time to be alive because at home no one really uses it anymore. So.
But people say, but if you got rid of cash, what about the people, you know, that's a privilege talking. What about the people who don't have that privilege of having a bank account? And I think you're thinking about the problem the wrong way around.
Mm.
Sort that problem out. Give everybody access to electronic funds.
Yeah.
Don't worry about. Then we could get rid of cash. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I don't like it if I have coins and then I lick my fingers.
Oh, disgusting.
Horrible.
If you really think about it, it's disgusting.
Oh, yeah. Don't think about it.
No, let's not. Right, let's go on. Let's move on to
I'm being quite annoying on this episode, aren't I?
Oh, who to?
You, the listeners, myself.
To yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm derailing a lot. I can feel myself doing a lot of derailing.
It's because Sarah told you had to finish quickly today. So you're like being really like going against her. Deciding to like prolong everything.
What is that thing that people can have? I sometimes think you might have it.
Oh, defiance, oppositional defiance disorder.
Yes.
You got that today.
Yeah, I've caught it off you.
Caught it off me. Is that because when someone asks me to do something, I think it might do it yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right, big news.
But you mask it well.
Oh, very well.
But there's a mental health cost to masking.
Oh, God. Stop talking.
Okay.
Then you can start again.
Okay.
Big news. This is really big news, okay? Yeah. Following from a couple of weeks ago, I've had my dishwasher fixed.
Wow.
I know. I'm so excited. It no longer leaks. And it's no longer trying to escape by gently inching forward so it can escape. And also, I'd have to put my foot on the kickboard every time I open the door to stop it from falling down. It's beyond thrilling. I'm wondering if exposing my laziness and procrastination gave me the impetus and maybe I should do more of this purely for my own benefit. But then I remember that talking about all the other things falling apart in my house has made no difference. So I just think this was a fluke occurrence. I have, though, got a few questions and observations about the experience of having a tradesperson in my house, which for me is a fairly unusual occurrence.
Mm.
Firstly, he came twice. First time I offered him a cup of tea. He declined it like this. Oh, no. Like he wouldn't dream of drinking a hot drink on the job. And it was actually a bit weird of me to suggest that he did. The second time, I wasn't sure whether to offer or not because he'd been so sure the last time. I didn't want to annoy him by asking him again. But should I? What would you have done?
I'd say, I'm brewing up. Would you like one?
Oh, you would offer, but in a way that suggested.
Yeah. And I'd specifically say brewing up, which... I don't know that I ever use it. I don't think I've used that phrase since I lived in the north, but I'd somehow think it would just put the idea in his head that, you know, yes, I live this. I have the trappings of a media middle class life, but it wasn't always this way.
The thing is, if it had said no, I would have then had to use the kettle, which annoyingly is right in front of the dishwasher. So I'd have just really been in his way. So that, yeah, that's probably, he'd probably remember that's where the kettle was and didn't want me to get in his way. Okay, next question. How much should you hang around and how much should you let them get on with it? Because I don't want to be breathing down their neck, but also I don't feel like they should have to come and look for me or have to shout for me when they need me. What's the balance here? Like, if you live in a home with an upstairs and a downstairs, I'm guessing you have to be downstairs, right? Or do you not?
No,
I don't know.
No, definitely not. So I'm trying to get, like, give you an honest answer on this because, as mentioned, I am incapable of anything, really. So we
have quite a lot of these people.
Yeah, often we've got like one guy, Chris, who's the handyman.
Right.
And it's not quite changing a light bulb. But it's not that either. It depends on the light bulb.
Right.
If it's a complicated light bulb, he's changing it, not
me. Okay.
So my approach is this. He arrives. I could not be friendlier. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely like him. I'm genuinely interested to talk to him and hear what's going on with him.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a bit of awkwardness because there is with anybody apart from you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's it. Like a little. Sometimes with Sarah, I've got quite good. Even if I didn't like him, I would feel like I have to do enough small talk or enough chat to make him think I'm a great guy who's really interested in people.
Okay.
And you have to feel that because it can go too long. But I think at least. Like offer the drink,
yeah,
and then a good chat, and then say, so does everything make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you need from me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going up in the loft to do something, but if you need me, just shout.
Oh,
yeah,
so that's like it's okay to say they can shout for you. Okay,
yeah. Because I think I used to get into a thing where I would behave as if I was their apprentice.
Oh no,
and. They don't like that.
I can well imagine.
Because I am a hindrance, not a help.
So you're sort of hovering over going,
And I think for many years, that's what I do.
Oh, okay.
And then it was like this road to Damascus moment where I realised, they don't want that.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
So you're probably desperate to know what was wrong with my dishwasher. I'm guessing you're desperate. Are you desperate?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Because I'd already tried to fix it myself by looking online, had no luck there. Well, let me tell you, it's a bit embarrassing. At first, he said, this is really embarrassing. It's not a bit embarrassing. He said, well, the seal really needs cleaning. And that was the issue. It's got a lot of limescale on it. I paid an expert to tell me my dishwasher was dirty. But I have to say that limescale is the bane of my house. Like, I live in a very hard water area. I have no idea what hard water means because it's not hard at all. It's very liquid, in fact. They should think of a better word. But I do live in a very hard water area and I have a very scaly house. I looked up limescale. It's calcium carbonate.
Yes.
That's what Rennies are made of. I think I'm going to start licking the inside of my kettle when I've got indigestion now. Also, marble is calcium carbonate. Should I instead be boasting about my marble cupboard taps instead of trying to clean them? So it's basically embarrassing. It's so bad that he says, I probably need a new seal. And also, I need one of those, you know, that head thing that spins around and flings the water about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's got a crack in it. So I need one of those too. And he says he'll order them for me. Another question. Is it okay at this point to ask for a price and then ask if I can check on my phone if I can get them cheaper elsewhere?
Absolutely not, no.
Oh, God.
No. It's hugely insulting.
So I didn't do that. I judged that I was tempted, tempted.
Yeah.
And when I saw the prices on the second invoice, I regretted it because, like, I could have got them cheaper. I probably could have fitted them both myself. But it felt weird going after the first visit. I'll take it from here, thanks. Like, that felt weird, especially when I proved myself to be someone so useless I've called in a repair person when my dishwasher seal is dirty. Another thing, he asked how long it had been leaking for. And I said,
oh, no.
Oh, you don't want to know. I'm embarrassed to tell you. And I laughed because, as we know, it was been a year. He didn't laugh and he also didn't press me on it. So I felt like I was one of those people in the office in the morning and go, well, I had the worst night ever last night. Don't say something to me that makes me have to ask you a question. Just tell me what happened last night. But also, why does that annoy me so much? He must hate me. I'm just assuming he hates me. He probably likes me. I don't know.
Are you keeping on top of the salt in your dishwasher?
No.
There's your problem. So I think you don't get limescale build up if you if you're on top of your salting.
He didn't mention that to me. It's because he hates me.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's... Well, otherwise, what is the salt doing?
I know. It's for, you're right. It's for softening the water, right?
Oh, it's the worst job. It's the worst job.
I hate it so much, too.
Why can't they just make a dishwasher into which it's easy to pour salt?
I'll tell you what I don't find. I don't find it difficult to pour it in. What I struggle with is the length of time I'm spent just pouring and pouring. It feels like 3 years of my life. It's never, ever going to fill up.
Same with
pouring,
the liquid as well.
Pouring. Yeah.
Where is the salt compartment on your dishwasher?
I think it goes underground and like into a deep cavern.
But where are you?
At the bottom.
Yeah. I hate having to go on my hands and knees and like pull the thing that I have the plates on and then unscrew a thing. And why can't they just put it in the door? Why can't there be
not enough room? There's no way enough room.
But why can't they just have a chasm or some kind of funnel that goes down? I think my old dishwasher did that, and that was annoying as well. So I don't know why I'm saying this.
Anyway, all sorted now. No leaks.
Yay!
So pleased.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That
what's that? Oh,
90 degrees.
Oh wow.
So my finger, that my bad finger, my rock and roll finger, is at 90 degrees there, but unfortunately this is that's that bit of the finger, the first bit, but the tip, I can't do anything with that, and I can't really do much with the other bit. But
can you stretch it out flat?
No.
Oh, you still,
yeah, yeah.
It doesn't go straight. Yeah. Why are you calling it your rock and roll finger?
Oh, it's like a little in-joke to myself.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
Like, there's a very remote chance somebody else might get the little joke to myself.
Well, then, can we just leave it there?
Yeah. So I've got different exercises I have to do.
Oh, this is from the physiotherapist.
Yeah, I have to push down that first bit of my finger next to the knuckle like that. Mm-hmm. And then I have to, like, push in the tip and the next bit to try and make a fist, but it's nowhere near that at the moment. Okay. And then the other thing is I have to put the finger as flat as I can on the table and try and squash it down, and that one is really painful because the tendons have all shortened and now I've got to stretch them out, and it's really painful.
Okay.
And sometimes, I'm not sure I should admit to this because it makes it sound like I've got a problem, but I will take painkillers before I do it so that it doesn't hurt as much.
Take the edge off it.
Because it hurts so much. Now, when I go to the hospital to have a physiotherapy, it's a ward, but instead of beds, it's curtained off areas with a physiotherapist in each of them. Do you sort of see, imagine what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And other people there, you know, it's like something you'd see in a film where people are learning to walk again after a terrible accident.
Oh, on those parallel bars.
Yeah. And I've got a finger that's a bit crooked.
Okay.
So I already feel embarrassed.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And also, this doesn't make sense because, you know, it's not a type of person who hurts them. Oh, maybe it is. Maybe it is. Here's what I'm going to say. I got to the age of 50 without breaking anything.
Mm.
Whereas, I think if you're a more physically active person,
yes,
sporty, into high adrenaline pursuits, maybe you're more likely to break something.
You will not believe the amount of times that Tom's broken a hand. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Right. So the point being that I was going to say it doesn't make any sense that the people I see on the physiotherapy ward are more what I would describe as manly men than I am.
Yeah.
But it does make sense because they're more likely to be physically active.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So I'm already feeling like a fish out of water.
Feeling a bit beater.
Yeah, like if I've ever been in a gym.
Right.
And then the physiotherapist, I like her so much. She is an extremely tough, no-nonsense. You wouldn't mess with her because she is built. Spanish lady who is both warm and tough at the same time.
Great.
Good combination, because tell you what I don't do well with, any of that drill instructor stuff. Like if I got conscripted and a sergeant major was yelling at me, I just think, oh, I'm not just going to lie here in the mud then. I don't respond to that. If someone's going, you pathetic worm, get up, Lloyd. I'm not going to get up, no. Whereas if somebody has a bit of encouragement.
A bit of warmth, yeah.
But there's a toughness to it. So it's a good combination. So she won't put up with any of my nonsense.
Okay.
So what I'm going to describe to you is how I behave in the physiotherapy session. Because what she does is she those exercises are described. She does them on my hand, but she is much more forceful with me than I am with myself, because as soon as I feel me hurting me, I instinctively dial it back a bit.
Right.
Whereas she wants me to push through the pain.
Okay.
So if you were to touch my hand now, I don't want you to, but I would yelp. Like Gene touches it sometimes. Like Gene's always holding my hand. If he gets the wrong hand, my bad hand, I yelp and go, oh, sorry, son, that's my bad hand. Oh, would you mind doing the other hand, right?
Oh, okay.
If we're on the sofa and Sarah accidentally puts a foot on it or something, I go, ow, it's my bad hand.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
If Hema, the physiotherapist, it hurts me to the point that I consider me to be past my pain threshold. No yelping, no screaming.
Okay.
Because I can't do it in that environment.
Too embarrassing.
Far too embarrassing.
Yeah.
But so here's what I do.
Yeah, how else is it coming out?
Okay. So it escalates. So the basic one is she's doing it and I'm doing my breath and then I'm going, I'm stomping my feet like this. That's level one.
Oh my god! Okay.
Level two is so she's doing these things like trying to straighten out the fingers. She's pressing down on my hand on a desk. So I'm sitting at the desk. My hand is on the desk. Here's what I do on level two: my head on the desk. I'm not making that noise, but I'm my head butting the desk. Going,
okay.
Level three.
Yeah.
My right arm fully extended in the air, way above my head. My left arm is the one she's working on, and I'm going, clicking my
Your
fingers.
Your finger clicking.
Yeah.
Right.
Why?
Is there any part of you that thinks, I wonder if a scream's just better than all this fuss?
Here's what I think. I bet she doesn't see this every day.
I bet she never sees it. There's probably people who just grit their teeth. Nothing more.
How?
To be honest, I'm the same as you. I can't cope with any pain at all. You know, when I was giving birth, I had midwives. I caught them rolling their eyes at me. Like, I'm terrible.
I asked her if I could have gas and air.
Gas and air?
Yeah, because the hand therapist did try to manipulate. He let me have gas and air to try and manipulate
it. Oh, really?
And now I just want some of that.
What was her reaction when you asked for the gas and air?
Laughed at me.
Laughed.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Okay.
How are we for time? Let me just type my password into the computer. And I'm going to make a decision here about... I think we should probably move on to Quandary Corner.
Okay.
But then I feel bad because you've sent me a bunch of clippings.
Save them for next week.
I should save them for next week, shouldn't I?
They're all timeless.
Yes, they are timeless. Okay. Then next week, I may or may not tell you about a town throwing a birthday bash for a 116-year-old.
Okay.
Scientists have... invented technology to change the colour of cheese.
Okay, yeah.
And possibly about a new language which is starting to emerge.
Well, this is exciting. A teaser for next week, possibly. Not
That's if I remember to save that document.
Yeah.
Which is unlikely.
Okay.
Quandary Corner at the GLAP Clinic here in Problematic.
First one is from Wise Duchess of Wiltshire. If your child has a friend over... and they bake, what is the correct etiquette regarding the cakes or biscuits they have produced? We always send at least half home with the friends, but we have noticed that this is not always reciprocated and are left feeling upset and disappointed when my daughter Laura makes something and doesn't get to bring some home. Now, this was extremely interesting to me. I wonder if you're having the same reaction. I didn't realise that this was a thing and that you was. So I've had friends, I've had kids over before, my son's friends, to bake stuff, and I haven't sent anything home. It hasn't even occurred to me. Because it's your food. And yeah, they've made it, but how much have they really got involved? I don't know.
Well, here's what I think. So this has never happened in our house.
Oh, so you've never baked with other kids at your house?
No, Jean and Sarah bake every week. They do muffins on a Sunday morning. And to be honest, I want them out of the house. I want one. But what I don't need with my issues is 16 muffins.
I want to hoard all the food.
So we always like go and drop some, unless they've turned out horrible,
right?
Which occasionally happens. Like we'll just give them away.
What, to the neighbours and stuff?
Like, or is, you know, you'll go and knock on a friend's door and take them round.
That's nice.
So I think instinctively I would be the opposite of you. I would just have the emotional intelligence to know that a child had like invested something of themselves and a bit of creativity in a thing, and they were proud of it and wanted to take it with them.
I feel like they've eaten them. Like, do they need to? Do their parents want them, or do they just find it like, oh, don't?
I just want them out of the house. Is the truth? Yeah. But okay. That had not occurred to me as a play date activity.
Oh, it's lovely. Yeah, so decorating is good. So I'm going to start doing this then. I'm going to start sending biscuits home. I've learned something there. I think, because I feel like now we're talking about it, yeah, of course you should. And I was in the wrong.
Yeah. But the trouble is, I mean, what you're asking about there is not in your gift. So your behaviour is already, what's the name of the person who emailed in?
Wise Duchess of
Yes,
Wiltshire.
The Wise Duchess, yes. You know, you're already in the right, but you can't affect other people's behaviours.
No, I see. Yes. Yeah. She already knows what to do, but how do you...
I can't think of the exact right passive-aggressive thing you should say.
You could coach your child to say, can I take some of these, like to ask nicely, can I take some of those home for my mum?
Yeah. Get your child to do your dirty work for you. I like it. Yeah.
I think we've answered that then. Great. Let's move on to Mark Butler, who writes, our team, which now mostly works from home, has set up some quarterly in-person meetings in order to force some human interaction. These aren't as horrific as they might be, but they produce one piece of awkwardness. Our weekly online meeting involves the manager going round the room to ask each person individually what they've been up to. We've also recently acquired a new talkative colleague. At the in-person meeting, it was my turn to do my bit first, and the talkative colleague simply carried on her separate conversation at normal volume. My manager, who was a little laissez-faire, did not intervene here, and after some half-hearted attempts to let this conversation fizzle out, I had to just talk, knowing full well that I didn't have the attention of the room. Is there anything I could have done to ensure that this went more smoothly?
Hang on, so why didn't you have the attention of the room? Because the other person had exhausted everyone?
No, so there was the talkative person was carrying on a separate conversation when it was their turn to speak, the other person's turn to speak.
Oh.
This is not my area of expertise. I don't really ever do any kind of group online meetings. That's not my area.
Hang on, is this the in-person meeting that we're talking about?
Oh, hold on. No, it was Oh, sorry. I thought it was online, quarterly. Oh, yeah,
no.
In person.
No.
Oh, right. Well, same applies.
But it doesn't, because like, so here's an interesting thing. I've got a friend who's chief executive. Because, you know, I move in some circles.
Oh, I can tell.
And, you know, I'm just as comfortable with the chief executive as I am with the chimney sweep or the dishwasher repair person.
Of course.
That's the socially competent, or just as uncomfortable, I should say. But anyway, something that he noticed during the pandemic was the people who were sort of impressive or interesting or had interesting thoughts in meetings weren't necessarily the same ones it had been in-person meetings. And this is because there's something about remote working that, at least theoretically, maybe not in this case, but it levels the playing field a bit for introverts.
Okay.
So think about meetings we used to have when we were at the radio station. Like, and I want you to think of somebody who was a moron, but would always speak in meetings and repeat things that had already been said and just say inane things so that it looked like they were a competent person.
Okay.
But everything else about them,
mm-hmm.
like I always felt objectively,
mm.
was they were, you know, they were a train wreck of an employee.
Okay.
But like they knew how to do that thing in meetings.
Right.
And so do you see how that would, once you're not in a room in dynamic where it's the person who can talk over other people
mm.
and sort of like barge in and repeat things,
mm,
where mm. you kind of, I don't know, even if it's like going round a person at a time, that perhaps more interesting, more introverted people might get to put their ideas or point of view or
yeah.
sort of constructive criticisms or whatever it is across.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm. So these are in-person meetings.
Yeah. And it sounds like that thing that your personality type suffers in in-person meetings.
It feels like it's the manager's job to sort of conduct this meeting.
Yeah. But
they're not doing a good job of that.
Yeah. I have to say, I mean, it's not a skill that I have been able to hold the floor in a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are just great at it.
Mm.
And some people are great and good at their jobs as well. There was just one person I was thinking of. But, you know, I think every workplace has those people.
Yeah.
It's hard because even in the social environment, like, you know, if you're at dinner with six people, and the stories are flying around, I find it very hard to jump in with my story. And I'm quite often starting and then the conversation's moved on or a louder person speaking.
Yeah.
More often than not, I'll say something humorous and no one will hear it because I'm too timid to say it, to project. And then Sarah will hear it and she'll say it more loudly and confidently and then get a big laugh and everybody thinks she's the charismatic lady, the local character. I mean, what's the answer here? Is the answer just to think that in-person meetings are going to always be hell for you and the Zoom is your time to shine?
There's no kind of answer, is there? Because unless you've got a manager who's conducting it, like, you know, like a conductor of an orchestra, which this guy's not.
One of those meetings where you can only talk if you're holding the baton or whatever.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Like a pencil or something.
Yeah.
Why don't you suggest that to your manager? And then maybe they'll do that.
Why don't you suggest having a suggestions box?
Mm.
Because it would be very, I feel like it would be a big swing to suggest the magic pencil thing.
Yeah, suggest a suggestions box.
Yes.
And then put it in the suggestions box.
Anonymously.
Perfect.
Sorted. And that was our podcast. Thank you for listening to it. We appreciate it. Thank you as well if you bought tickets to our sold out show. We've got another episode of Adrift before that, haven't we?
Yes.
So is this must be 298?
Must be.
So the next one's 299. Then the big episode 300 is going to be live on tape from Shoreditch, London. Fashionable Shoreditch. Excited about that. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Carla Gowlett took our photos. Kim Rainey designed our artwork. And I'm going to finish this podcast this week with a facial expression that conveys sympathy, warmth, but doesn't make you feel like you should be embarrassed or you're drawing too much attention to yourself having collapsed on the floor. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
No?
No.
Podication time comes from Hannah Gunn, who says, hello.
Hello.
Hello. I would like to podicate an episode to my dad, John, as he's turning 60. 60.
Happy birthday.
The big 60. I saw today that some think tank or other said that we need to raise the retirement age in this country to 71.
Mm.
Hope that's not depressing news to you, John. Apologies for the late notice, but please, could this be read out close to the 10th of February? No, oh, yes.
No problem at all.
Yeah. I mean, this is close, isn't it? I realise I might be a little late, but as you mentioned, there weren't too many publications at the moment. I thought I would try my luck. Well, your luck is in, Hannah Gunn. My dad introduced my brother and I to the Jeff and Annabelle Hometime Show many, many, many years ago. We were around 11 and 13, now 24 and 26. Oh, they've aged at the same rate then. That all makes sense. Since then, we've been dedicated listeners to the podcast. Thank you.
That's so lovely.
It really is. You know, I'm always touched by these stories, and increasingly so as in mid-otage, especially because I just feel that there can be vast variations in quality from one year to the next. And for somebody to stick with us through that. I don't mean from you. You're always good, Annabelle.
We always say that.
And the email's always good. I just like, you know, look at
myself. You're just being down on yourself.
No, but I think, you know, I'm also being honest.
Well, own worst critic, et cetera. Let's move on.
No, there are worse critics out there. Gillian Reynolds in The Times being the one that springs to mind. God, I didn't know either. I found it by mistake.
I think I remember this story. Didn't Sarah tell you? No.
No, Sarah wouldn't do that. But I was looking for something. Like, I wasn't Googling my own name, but I came up as a Google result for whatever it was I was looking for. And it was like this horrible, scathing review. And it came at a bad time as well. Wasn't doing so great. And that was a real straw that broke the camel's back.
Well, I hope she knows what she did.
She probably doesn't.
No.
Unless she's listened to this podcast, which unlikely. I'd be very surprised about, given the review.
Yeah, very.
Although she has given me very favourable reviews sometimes.
Oh,
I don't know.
Maybe she was having a bad day.
I don't know what it was. Anywho's, my dad wrote into the Hometime Show podcast for his 50th birthday, and I am sure he would love to hear his name broadcast again a full 10 years later.
Sure he would.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about that. I mean, maybe you misjudged the situation. He is an amazing dad, always willing to help anyone. He is also very much not a drifter and will happily talk to anyone, anywhere. This comes in very handy, as my mum and I are full drifters and my brother definitely has some of the drifter qualities. It's interesting how it can play out in a family,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
For example, my dad recently got to the gym and found the zip of his coat was stuck right at his neck. He was trapped inside his jacket. And instead of turning round and going all the way back home to hack his way out of the jacket with kitchen scissors, as I would probably end up doing, and I want to add here, Hannah, I think 80% of the people, 90% of people listening to this, he actually went into the gym and asked someone at reception to help with the stuck zip.
Wow.
That's hilarious. I feel that only somebody in a sitcom would do that.
Yeah.
The embarrassment of admitting to a stranger that my own clothes had defeated me would be bad enough, but then think about how close they would have to get to help release you. This is unimaginable to me, although I'm forced to admit, probably a better solution.
Yeah.
We all move through life in our own way. It's so alien to me, this. This year, we are attempting to make my dad's very ambitious plan of doing 60 things in his 60th year come true. As I write this, we are very much looking forward to a weekend trip to Berlin, as that is somewhere dad has always wanted to go. I've always wanted to go. Do you think it's weird when you get a place where you've always wanted to go that isn't, say, the Himalayas or something? You know, that's like 2 hours away.
Right, right.
And you haven't been there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know, that's exactly how, for decades I've wanted to go to Berlin. And I've been to many places.
But not there yet. I'm really touched by how people in their 20s want to hang out with their, like, parents. Because I kind of get myself thinking, oh, what if, like, my son, when he's in his 20s, wants to do stuff with me? Like, it's what you dream of, isn't it?
I know it is. And it's the thing that you just think, well... His probably, Sarah said something the other day. She said that, like, for most people, even if you've done an exceptional job of being a parent, there'll be a time when your kid's an adult and you'll go to visit them. And then as you leave, they'll slump against the door and think, thank God they've gone.
Oh, don't. That's so sad. I'm actually going to cry.
I know. But I just think that speaks so well of your dad. It speaks so well of John and you and your family that that you've got this kind of relationship. It's
really
lovely.
Yeah.
Tell us the secret, John. Although I probably won't be able to implement it because we're such different types of people. Now, what was I up to? I'm hoping a podication on his favourite podcast will be worthy of a place on the 60 things list too. I think you'll need a bit of filler, and I think this will probably be that, right?
Yeah, 60 things.
Yeah.
I mean, God, that's more than one a week,
yeah,
isn't it? Yeah.
I think if you've got like 35 to 40 things that are meaningful and then padding it out with stuff like this,
I think is the way
to go, isn't it? Thank you for being the voices in our ears for the last 10 plus years. I'm sure we'll be listening and very occasionally writing in for many more. Well, that's lovely, Hannah.
I hope so.
I do think, or at least I hope, if you've been listening that long and you haven't given up on us, I can't imagine that there's much further to drill down in terms of hitting rock bottom. I'm not saying we're currently at rock bottom, although maybe this week with me, but... you know, I think, but as I say, it's a spiky podcast profile, and if you're still here, then hopefully, I suppose, like, you could just get to a stage where you think, why do I put myself through this?
Might get to a stage where, like, we've reached a certain age where we're talking about, like, really old stuff that feels like, oh...
But if they're aging with us...
I know, but there's a gap where it just feels bigger than others.
Yeah.
Like, say, between, like, I don't know, 60 and 80.
I try not to talk about the ways in which my body is deteriorating.
Right.
I have to talk about the ways in which my mind or my personality are deteriorating. But I think you age yourself by talking about... like
your aches and pains.
Like, if you get together with people your own age and what you talk about is how age is ravaging your body, I think that in itself ages you.
Yeah.
But I don't think you should be pretending like you're 20 either.
Okay.
I just think, let's stay off the subject.
So when we're
80, sweep it under the carpet.
We won't be mentioning. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, so if you're not offended by us, or, oh, that is so irritating at this point. Like, I don't think I can do anything. Here's what I'm saying.
I don't think
I can do anything more to annoy you than I've already done.
Yes, yes.
So if you, do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I would
find me deeply annoying.
You'd have gone by now if you were going.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to stay for a bit longer. Yeah.
So the only situation where, I guess, if you've been listening that long and you stop is... yeah, maybe like the same reason people give up other things that are, like, you're doing some kind of life audit and you're thinking, is this really doing anything for me? Does it really warrant those 50 minutes?
Yeah.
We're not on this earth very long. So people might like get to evaluating the life stage. And that's fine as well. Or just hear something better and think, I'm going to listen to that instead. That I understand that.
Yeah.
But my point is... Everything that could repel you has already happened in that time.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of it, but you're still here.
Yeah, but as well.
And that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I don't foresee you going anywhere, but I don't take you for granted either.
No.
And I really appreciate it. And I really like that. When I turned 50 last year, I had this idea that, because obviously I'm not going to have a party, but there are enough people to fill a party that I... either love or care for deeply and would have liked to have seen. So I thought, maybe I'll go for 50 walks or 50 dinners or 50 coffees and, you know, or some combination of that. And then it just felt too much like admin. But it sounds like having Hannah and the rest of the family do it for you, John, it's going to be a special year.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. So there you go. Latest edition of the podcast, podicated to John from Hannah Gunn. And if you would like a podication, email us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Oh. Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.